Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Coming up, we have stories about bros not sharing food, family holiday vacation drama, spouses setting allowances, ruined delivery room experiences, wedding day scandals, dinner party drama, jealous siblings, cake stories, and a spicy Best of Redditor update story. Okay, first story we have is a follower submission, and it is titled, "Is he the brozo for refusing to share his food?" Joey doesn't share food! We've said that a few times recently on stories. I, female 39, and my husband, male 41, have been together for 17 years and married for 13. Money has been super tight. I have been working extra hours to get caught up on past due bills to avoid things literally being shut off or repossessed. A little backstory, my husband worked two jobs starting in the summer of 2021, one as a local truck driver and the other he launched his business, which is seasonal. In March of 2023, we decided the business was going well enough for him to leave the truck driving and take over just the self-employment job. Side note, we both work a self-employed job and I have not yet given up my career, nor do I plan to, mostly due to benefits. Fast forward, and the winter came, which is very slow, if not a standstill for the home business, and he needed to have knee surgery. He tried to go back to work after about 3 weeks at his former employer, but they only needed a little help, so he was only getting a couple of days of work back per week, never clearing much of a paycheck. It has been tight, to say the least. The light is at the end of the tunnel, business is picking back up, and we are getting somewhat caught up, but are definitely not out of the woods. I am the more financially responsible one, though not perfect, but he lives by, "I'll just pay that with the next check," and it has gotten us into trouble so many times. He has had to borrow money from his parents, his sister, and my parents. I get frustrated with him rescuing him, especially when I know if he just hadn't eaten fast food several times that week, we would have had the money. This week, we had just enough money to set back to fund our next event and no extra. We also had to travel for my daughter's state tournament a couple of hours from home. His parents were coming separately. I knew he would want to eat out with them, and so to save a fight, I said, "Let's eat breakfast and lunch at home, and then we can go to a cheaper restaurant, order water, not soda, no extras, just an entree, and aim to spend as little as possible." When we made it to the tournament, there was an unexpected parking fee, and the entry fee had doubled last year's rate, and we were already out $45 just to attend. After the tournament, his dad picked a restaurant, and it wasn't exactly cheap. I decided that I would help my son order, and the kids' menu was relatively reasonable, and then reminded him we were drinking water. I chose to not eat, as I knew we would be home in two more hours and could eat there. My husband chose a shrimp dinner plate, which was about $10 higher than the other options, and ordered a soda after our discussions. I shot him a look, but he didn't change his mind, and I didn't want to look like an asshole in front of his parents. His mom offered me her salad. I politely declined. My husband knows I will not eat seafood, so splitting a plate was not an option at this point. It was my own choice not to eat, and I don't really blame him for that, but what happened next baffles me. We got in the truck to leave, and there was a half-empty can of Dorito mini chips. I was so excited because at this point my stomach was starving from smelling everyone else's food. I picked it up and started to munch on it, and he said, "Please don't eat all those."
Oh yeah, I'm going to do this first, and then we're going to do this.
Candy Center, would you mind killing that heat?
At this point, I had had it. I tossed the can in the back seat, put put in one of my earbuds and made the trip home. He reiterated twice, I didn't say you couldn't eat any, just don't eat all of them. When we had some time to chat that evening, I asked if we could talk. I was calm and simply told him it hurt my feelings that he wouldn't just let me have the can of chips. We went round and round and he just kept turning the conversation, telling me he didn't want me finishing them off. No matter how I tried to point it out, he just could not understand why I was upset. I stood there in tears, trying to be heard, and he could not apologize or even recognize that he had hurt me. Then when he left this morning, he left the can of Doritos on the table for me. Like, now you want to give them to me. It's a little too late. I'm seriously already wrestling with how he treats me, and this just feels like the straw that will break the camel's back. Is he the brozo, or am I overreacting? No, he's definitely the brozo for this. I think we've got to dissect it a little bit, but well, we can safely say at this point that yes, he is absolutely the brozo for refusing to share his food, and even more so, not just his food, but a freaking can of mini Doritos that was in his car, wasn't his plate at dinner, which he intentionally chose something that he knows that you can't eat. So he was not planning on sharing that with you at all. He knows why you didn't order a meal, because you were trying to save money for you guys. And then he went and he's like, oh, I can balance this out. I'll order something more expensive that I know she won't eat. And then when she gets in the car, clearly starving, I'm going to lash her for munching on my chips that I have in the vehicle. Unfortunately, OP, it sounds like you're the only one interested in a solution. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, you're going to keep banging your head against a brick wall here, because it is going to be, it's a cycle. You're going to keep running into this cycle. So either you're going to have to get to a point where you proactively kind of plan lunches ahead for him, plan meals ahead for him. And I'm not talking about this specific instance. I'm talking about in general, right? It sounds like, you know, he wants to get the fast food all the time, and you know that's what is causing some pain here. Being proactive and getting, like, the adult Lunchables are actually really good. Getting something that he will actually eat for lunch that can save you guys some money, and arming him with that ahead of time is a great idea. But you guys have to be on the same page. He has to actually want to do it, or then you're going to buy these things to proactively try to give him another option, and he's not going to eat that, or he's going to eat that and get fast food too, and then you're going to be out even more money. It has to get reined in at some point here. There has to be some kind of effort to be able to fix things, because right now, if the choice is having no money at all and getting fast food, or having a little bit of money and eating a little bit cheaper, I think if you had that choice in front of him, I feel like he would make the right choice. But he's looking at this as a, you know, when I'm out running around during the day, I'm going to grab this food. This $10 meal is not going to be the end of the world for us. Well, maybe not. But that $10 meal, 5 days a week, 4 weeks out of the month, 52 weeks out of the year, it definitely does add up. So creating a budget together is probably a good idea. Really talking about trying to control these and figuring out what are some healthy alternatives. And I don't mean healthy food, but like healthy habit wise. What are some alternatives that he would actually entertain? This just needs to be a conversation. And I know right now he probably feels like he's being parented. He's being controlled. He's being told what not to do. And he's bucking against that clearly. So maybe if you change your approach here, and instead of trying to tell him what not to do, get his feedback on the front end and try to make a decision together about how to overcome this and how to not be in this position again and again and again, maybe he'll have more buy-in. Maybe he'll be more prone to actually follow this system if it's not one that's being imposed on him, if it's one that he helps come up with. It's worth a shot. In this instance, though, absolutely, he was the brozo. Absolutely, you are NTA here, and it sucks. It sucks. And if you put all of these actions of his in context and said, look, you won't listen to me about not eating fast food. We knew we had X amount of money and we were going to have to eat cheap out at this dinner anyway. I chose not to eat to try to save us more money because we already had to pay more to get into the freaking event. Then you chose a more expensive meal. You chose to pay $4 for a freaking soda. Like, what? Why? Why would you make these decisions, knowing that they have a deeper impact on our entire family? Why? Maybe have that conversation.
Can I be, I'm just going to be really real for, this guy's an inconsiderate asshole, because he got the one meal that he got was something that she couldn't eat.
Right.
He got seafood and she hates seafood. So he did it on purpose. Like, what kind of childish BS? Like, and then tells her not to eat his chips.
Yeah.
He's not just, I don't think there's any logic is going to work on this guy.
It might not, but I mean, what's the alternative? Divorce?
I think he's made it quite clear that he has no respect for this woman.
I agree.
You would, if there was a choice to be made on who was going to go hungry in our family, you would fall on that sword.
100%.
100 times.
100%. 100%. Now, as we look at what are the options moving forward here, I feel like the only two options you have are you have a serious conversation about this, but him include him in it, because imposing rules on him to this point, he's bucking against and he doesn't give a shit about. And yes, he's acting completely inconsiderate here. So you try to include him on this to get him to see what he's doing and how much pain it's actually causing. And maybe he still doesn't give a shit, but it's at least like one last ditch effort. It's him making the choice repeatedly.
Yeah. At this point, they don't even have a relationship. What is she getting out of the relationship? Because it's
some chip it's crumbs.
An empty belly is what it sounds like. That's all some crumbs. And having to parent another child. Like at this point, she's better off single and managing her own finances and letting him flounder on his own.
Right. This story is from the AITA subreddit and is titled, Am I the Askanaut for Not Inviting Sister's Family to the Beach on Easter Holiday? Hi, everybody. I am eager to read your response because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. A bit of background. My 34 female sister, 37 female, is my mom's favorite. No way around it. She got married really young and her husband is fine, but a bit clueless. He works hard and provides a nice life, but lifting a finger for the kids would be beyond him. I'm sure that's going to come back into the story. So my mom always instilled the we got to help her out mentality, and I poured my heart and soul into helping her raise her kids for years, and I mean it. Sadly, she then thought it was my responsibility and even left me with her kids hours after my C-section. Hours after a C-section, she's like, here, your shift is now. Oh, even now she throws full tantrums that ruin family vacations if I don't want to look after her kids. But the general consensus in my family is, why couldn't you just take them? They really don't see the problem. Oh, thanks, fam. Y'all are a bunch of enabling ass bags. Greatly appreciate that. I would still make the effort to help out if she had ever been a bit nice to my kids. She's indifferent at most and downright rude at times to your kids, OP. Wow. Which brings me to the present situation. My husband's family has a beach house, and for years, we would go there with my entire family to spend holidays, Easter, Christmas, New Year's, and the like. However, there was always something with her. I bring the food for everyone, but she brings some snacks for her kids only. My son asked for a yogurt one time, and she said no, LMAO. One time I asked for a bit of cheese for my daughter, and she said no. That sort of thing. She'll bring a bag of pool noodles and shit from the dollar store for her kids only. My kids aren't allowed to touch them or use them, and she acts so annoyed if they even ask about them. For the record, my kids are 5 and 3. So this week we're going to the beach house, and I haven't invited her. She asked if they could go, and I said no. So she wrote to my husband thinking he'd override me and say yes, of course. He didn't even reply to her message. Now she's boo-hooing to anyone who will listen about how bad I am and how it's my fault and her family won't get a vacation. Am I the askanaut for not inviting her? I feel terrible for her kids, but I just can't stand her being so effing rude to my kids in my face in my house. It's not even like a okay. No, NTA. Let's get it out there. NTA. NTA, NTA. Yes, I don't have a Bizzo button yet, but all of you folks in the storm that have a Bizzo button, throw that shit in chat. This is a Bizzo. Not even just being disrespectful to you. And we see this a lot. People who are hesitant to create or reinforce boundaries for themselves, whenever something happens to their kids, those boundaries come up. Those boundaries definitely come up because she's going mama bear mode now, right? If somebody, oh my gosh,
this is the whole cycle of there's somebody who does you huge favors in life and you still treat them like shit. And then you turn around and ask them to do you more favors. What I don't understand here is Opie allowed herself to be taken advantage of in the beginning of this process by helping raise these kids pretty much and developed a relationship, which I'm sure made her more likely to allow herself to continue being taken advantage of because she was doing it for the kids at that point, not for the sister or sister-in-law. But at what point do you just stand up and you're like, hell no. And I guess this is it. There was enough pain to create some change. And she created the boundary and said, hell no, I'm not letting you ruin yet another vacation because you are an absolute ass bag. To be so giving to someone else's kids and have that person turn around and be just quite the opposite to your own kids is absolute horseshit. And she, I'm going to go ahead and put her up here. She's the worst of the worst. If she's willing to treat kids like shit for no reason, because what? They wanted a yogurt. They wanted to use the pool noodle. Eat glass. You heinous biatch. It's like I can almost put a face on this gal too. You know what I mean? I can almost put a face on her.
Almost.
I can almost put a face. Yeah, there's a user. Yeah, she's definitely a user. I don't understand how people can use people like that and then treat them like absolute shit without trying to hide it at all. Be just terrible to them, let alone their kids. Taking it 10 steps further by being shitty to someone's kids, someone who helps you out a shit ton, and then expects to still be able to continue using and abusing them. I guess she just assumed that OP had no backbone whatsoever and she was going to continue just taking it this whole time. But good for you, OP, for finally standing up and being like, hell no. And you know what? I would take it a step further and say, look, fam, anybody who agrees with her is welcome to stay behind. Anybody who's going to give me shit for having boundaries and protecting my children can stay behind and miss out on this too. No dark clouds allowed on this trip. Sorry about you. Ain't going to happen. None. Am I the Askenot, putting my wife on a strict allowance and making her ask me permission to buy expensive things? I mean, it's not a good start, but we'll wait. When we married, we decided not to fully combine our finances. We have a shared account in which I fund 3 quarters and she funds 1 quarter. We use this account to pay the mortgage, utilities, groceries, etc. We also have our separate accounts where we deposit the rest of our money. We're responsible for our own investments and cars. Things worked well for a couple of years until recently when she came to me crying. Turns out my wife is not good with her money and owes $150,000 spread over several credit cards and her car loan. Unless she wins the lottery, there's no way she would be able to pay off her debt, and I didn't want her to mess up her credit by declaring bankruptcy. I decided to loan her the money to pay off the debt on strict conditions. I will take over her finances, including receiving her income. She will be placed on a strict allowance and budget. She will have to ask permission to buy anything over $50 and have to go by my judgment. Once she pays me back the money, she can take control of her own finances. She argued against the conditions until I pointed out that I didn't have $150,000 in cash stuffed in the couch. I will have to sell some assets, including stocks that are currently performing well. If I loan her the money, it will cost me money. She finally agreed. This weekend, we were at a dinner party where, after too many drinks, some of the women decided they wanted to take a girls' trip a few weekends from now. My wife turned to ask me if she could go, and I answered, no, it's not in her budget. I'll spare you the details of the argument that erupted, but the too long don't read version is that I'm a misogynist pig who keeps her on a leash. Some argued I should have bailed her out without conditions because there should be none in a marriage. The hurtful part is that she didn't once defend me. So was I wrong to put these conditions on her? I mean, you didn't force any conditions on her, right? She willingly accepted the conditions because it came with a positive. The positive that it came with was you bailing her out, but there had to be something to make up for the opportunity cost there. So yeah, I mean, we don't do the separate finances thing. And this is one of the reasons why I feel like money gets tricky. And if you're loaning money to your
partner, I can't imagine a more messy situation. It's like, what, that's why they say, what, don't loan money to friends and family? Or I don't know. But this seems like the messiest, most uncomfortable kind of situation that you could be in with your partner. And she goes out and gets schnockered with her girls. And then it comes out to the girls about it. And of course, the girls want to tear you down. Of course, it's all torches and pitchforks now at this point, because they don't have the context. They don't have the context of the conversation earlier. They don't have the context of how she got into this position. They just think that you're controlling her as a misogynist, just being a complete, just thumb right on her. It's basically what was it? Handmaid's Tale. Is that what it was called? Help me out, Tony Spark, pop culture. Handmaid's Tale. Is that what it's called? Yeah, it's extremely controlling. It's perceived to be extremely controlling here. I don't know what the right move here would have been. She definitely didn't do the right thing by not correcting anybody and letting them light the torches and get out the pitchforks, because you're doing her a favor here. I guess you can retract this deal. You can retract it and say, do what you want, but you're screwed. The unfortunate part is that you're married to her, so you're probably screwed too, right? Because if it's a married couple, even though she incurred this debt on her own, aren't you on the hook for it as well? Her so-called friends need to know that she has a debt that he bailed her out on. Yeah, that's the context. That if you just heard this part on its own, like, yeah, she has to run every purchase above $50 by her husband, and whatever he says goes, and he receives her checks and handles everything for her. That information by itself, yes, seems very, very bad. In the context of how they got to that point, that's the understanding that everybody who's making a judgment on this within her friend group is missing. You cannot make a judgment on this situation with just that piece of information and expect to have any kind of clear understanding about what's going on. The wife should have asked him privately instead of in front of her friends. Princess Heather, I would agree with that. I think the smart move on her part would have been, let me think about it and let me see if I can actually afford to do it, and I'll let you guys know later. That would have been the smart move, instead of turning around and looking at daddy and saying, daddy, can I? And him being like, no. And then everybody being like, you can't tell her no. She's an independent woman. They're all sauced. Remember, the friend group is all sauced. They're all out drinking. This is the most dangerous situation you could ever put yourself in. I understand that OP, your intentions were noble here, but this is just one of the most volatile, uncomfortable situations I have ever heard of between a married couple. And that. Yeah, she didn't learn anything, because having freshly got herself into this situation, I can't imagine someone who really was interested in getting out of that situation asking to go on this trip in the first place. But let's talk about this for a second. As a married couple, if you had separate finances and your spouse came to you and asked, would you bail your spouse out? I mean, what would we do there? Is hubby in the wrong here for creating a structure that helps bail her out while also teaching her to fish? I don't feel like it is, because I feel like, I mean, he came from a noble place. I don't know. Execution here was just sloppy, and that's not on him. He tried to do the right thing. He added structure here, but didn't think about the social ramifications to it. Selena, I agree. She just proved that she can't be responsible. And shortly after, he extended this olive branch and extended a solution path for her to climb out of this hole. She immediately tries to go deeper into it and then makes him seem like the bad guy for trying to help her by not providing the context of how they got to this point. I don't feel like he sucks here for doing this. I feel like this is all on her. However, OP, NTA, in my book here, where does the wife go? Where does wifey end up for letting him take the fall, for letting her girls light the torches and pitchforks and come after him for trying to help her? I feel like it's pretty freaking bad. It's at least a 2. Definitely shouldn't have done it. Is it a 1? Is this a 1 kind of thing? Is it just terrible? Oh, Danny, if she did it on purpose, for sure it's a 1. I feel like we are here for a couple of reasons. I feel like she's at a 1 because she got herself into this mess without communicating about it in the first place, until it was way like past the point of no return. He offers a plan, offers her a way out. There are some conditions involved that she accepted. and then made him seem like the devil for imposing those conditions in the first place and not speaking up and letting everybody think something that isn't accurate at all about him. I feel like she has a responsibility at this point, if she wants to remain married to you, OP, to go clean up that mess and to set everyone straight. And who knows how many people they've all told at this point. Again, only knowing half the story, it is her responsibility to clean up that mess. And if she can clean up that mess, cool. Come back. Let's learn a lesson. Take it as a learning moment here and not step in that pile of shit again. If she is not willing to do that, I think your original offer is redacted. I think you take it back. Say, look, when I try to help you, my hand gets bit, so I'm not going to help you. Am I the Askinoff for telling my parents that I blamed them instead of my brother? I, 15 male, turned 15 last Thursday and had my party that Friday. Everything was going good until my nephew, 5 male, came. I didn't even want him to come because he's not well behaved at all, but they told me that they didn't want him to feel excluded by everyone else being invited and they'll just have my brother watch him better. I told my dad that I didn't want him coming because I didn't want him throwing a fit all night, but they told me that he wouldn't be and that I shouldn't be dramatic. They told me that they didn't want their grandchild to be upset because he wouldn't be there, and if something does go wrong, they'll take responsibility for it. My nephew threw my birthday cake on the floor. I threw it on the ground. Nobody wants your autograph. That's the worst. He was upset that he didn't get to blow out the candles and started screaming and crying when my brother held him back. After he calmed down, he literally dug his hands into the cake and slid it to the floor. I was disappointed, not surprised. My brother and parents were apologetic, and my brother compensated our parents for my cake and apologized to me. It's been 3 days, and I'm basically over it now, but my brother called me after school and told me that he wants to take me out for an apology birthday dinner, but I told him that it was fine and that our parents were already planning on getting me another cake, so it really wasn't a big deal. He asked me if I was sure, and I told him that I was and thanked him for giving them the money. I told him I was already planning on going out with my friends and we could do it another time. After that, we kind of talked some more before he hung up. When my parents got home, they told me that my brother told them that morning that he was going to invite me out, and they asked me if I accepted it. When I told them that I didn't, they got mad at me for refusing and said that I probably made him feel worse than he already does. He didn't sound hurt to me. I told them that he already gave them money to pay for the cake and that I'm grateful for that. I told them that I don't blame him at all, and I blame them instead. I said if they felt bad, it could have been avoided if they didn't invite my nephew in the first place, and that they said they were going to take responsibility, but instead they're making my brother pay for the cake that they said they were responsible for. They got mad when I said this and said that they didn't mean to ruin my birthday and that they didn't want my nephew and brother to feel left out. My parents have been acting pretty cold to me since, but I'm not too worried. Whenever we have a disagreement, they usually ignore me until the next day, and then they just magically forget everything that happened. I'm just confused if I was wrong or not. This kid is 15. I mean, this is a 15-year-old kid. And then his brother, his nephew is 5. So his brother is old enough to have a 5-year-old kid. We don't know how old the brother is, but he's old enough to have a 5-year-old kid. The thing that really gets me in this, and the question is, am I the Askinoff for telling my parents that I blame them instead of my brother? No, because you said ahead of time. Actually, they said ahead of time, if anything goes wrong, we will accept personal responsibility. Well, something went wrong and they did not accept personal responsibility. So you're holding them accountable for that because they said they were going to be accountable for that. How does that make you an asshole? It doesn't. They said they would be accountable. They have not held themselves accountable. Instead, they've held your brother accountable. And yes, it's his kid that did this terrible thing, and that the parents are on the hook to be able to make those kind of things right. And he did, but it kind of seems like the parents are just leaving it at that. And they're like, oh, he did this thing. That's enough. We don't need to do anything. Yes, you do. But they also said they're going to take him out. Not like take him out. They're going to take him out for a makeup birthday dinner or get him another cake or something. They're going to take him out. They're going to make it up to him by getting him another cake, but it could have been avoided in the first place. I think Yeah, you got an unruly little 5-year-old there. It's your 15-year-old's birthday. If he says explicitly, I don't want this to be ruined by this kid, I think you as a parent have a responsibility to at least take that request a little bit more seriously and have a conversation with your other son about his unruly, rampant little velociraptor of a 5-year-old and make sure that you're doing everything possible to avoid it. And maybe they did that, but at the end of the day, they said they would be responsible for anything that went wrong. Now they have to make good on that. Otherwise, their word means nothing. And I don't think you want your word meaning nothing to your 15-year-old kid. Opie's parents insisted that he was invited. Yes, they insisted. And I understand their position, too. They don't want, you know, their other kid to miss out on this. They don't want their only grandchild to miss out on this either. I understand it's a very difficult position for them to be in. However, if your child that is having a birthday has a specific request, I feel like you have to do a little bit more than just immediately dismiss that request. And that's what they did in this case. Is the 5-year-old maybe special needs? Could be. I mean, could be. And I don't know that a 15-year-old would know to mention that. You know what I mean? But there's another side of me that's like, oh, Opie, just get ready. Because like it's going to get more hellacious as time goes on. And you're going to learn pretty soon that like your birthday parties aren't necessarily a celebrate you kind of party. It's just another chance for the family to get together at some point here. But that comes later on with age. At 15, it still very, very, very much matters. And the parents here have just failed on a couple of accounts. The biggest one and the most important one for this story is saying that they'll be accountable and then choosing not to be. And that sucks. So no, you blame them because they said if anything goes wrong, blame us. You're doing exactly what you guys talked about. Exactly. This story is actually from the Dusty Thunder subreddit, and this one is titled, Am I the Asknot for Ruining My Husband's Experience in the Delivery Room? Sounds like a weird question. This happened 7 years ago. At the time, my 27 female and my husband, 27 male, were pregnant. I didn't want to know the gender of our child, and he did. He said, I just want to prepare for the baby. I told him I didn't want to know because there are so few real surprises in life. We agreed he would find out so he could prepare, but he would keep it a secret from me. And if he blew the secret, I got to touch his face with my hand. I'm pretty sure that means she like hits him in the junk or something. Flash forward to 2 months before we had our son, my husband insisted on me reading a text convo between him and an old roommate while his mother was at our house, and in it, he told the ex-roommate we were having a son. Aw, man. I was so disappointed. I was already upset that he hadn't attended any doctor's appointments or ultrasounds. Wait, what? But what? Then I asked what he's bought to prepare, and it was 2 onesies, and we were already 7 or 8 months in. Okay, what? So he needed to know so he could prepare, but did no actual preparing at all, and didn't attend any appointments or anything? What exactly was he trying to prepare for here? Just mentally prepare? Mentally prepare, maybe. So I plotted my revenge. Week after week of asking him if he wanted to cut the cord and insisting he would regret it if he didn't, it's such a cherished moment by many men. It'd be better to say you did it rather than my mom, blah, blah, blah. We get to the labor and delivery of our son. I had never-ending morning sickness, so I was puking the whole time while trying to deliver. Our son came out. My husband got handed the scissors. We both took a deep breath. He went in to cut the cord and winced at the same time. As soon as the cord was cut, I screamed. I screamed so hard and for so long, it probably sounded like someone was unaliving me. The doctor even asked if I was okay. I just laughed. I'm just f***ing with you. I can't feel anything. I've had an epidural. He is still mad at me for this one. Am I the Asknot? That was 7 years ago. He's still mad about it. Too long, don't read. My husband couldn't keep our baby's gender a secret, so I screamed when he cut the cord. You know what, OP? Hey, I'm going to throw you some petty confetti here and bravo for you, because I thought this was going somewhere very dark. You were very, very disappointed that he spilled the beans by having you read this text message, which seems malicious on his part, doesn't it? Because he insisted that you read this text conversation, and he had to have known that information was included in there. Also, his insistence on knowing ahead of time so he could prepare, but then not preparing at all. Like, there's a lot of things stacked up against him that I thought your revenge was going to be pretty maniacal and pretty dark, but it wasn't. It was, I mean, it is, that is, yes, yes, that is. But this was pretty lighthearted and funny. You chose to take one moment to take one big swing back at him and to do it in a fun way. I'm sure it wasn't fun at the time for him, but he absolutely deserved every second of that. Now, if it was something that you had dragged on for like an extended period of time and made him think that you were actually like on your way out, yeah, that'd be too far. But the fact that you did this as a quick thing and immediately were like, I'm fine, I'm just with you. Yeah. Well warrants it here. Well warranted here, NTA. I don't think you ruined his delivery room experience. Also, I think unless he has some kind of super duper strict job that doesn't allow him to take time to go to any of those appointments, I'd say he ruined the whole experience for himself. I can't imagine not wanting to go to any of those appointments. And I know there are some jobs out there that would. There are jobs out there that make it harder than others to be able to attend those kind of things. But still, one, like, go to one, at least. I just don't understand any of the things that he did here. She ruined the delivery experience. Yeah, but Brozo ruined her pregnancy experience. They're even, Danny. You know what? They're not, though. That's the funny part here is that OP has so much more freedom in how far they could go to make this thing actually even. And she chose something that was well short of what she could have done. And then said, that's all I wanted. Now we're even. We're fine. And as long as she believes they're even, cool. You guys are fine. Also, hubby, I wouldn't say shit about it. I wouldn't say it's 7 years later and you're still mad at her. Dude, she could do so much more and still not be anywhere near even with you. I would suggest you not utter a f-ing word about this ever again, because she could revive it and be like, fine, I can keep going. No. You got off easy. Take the W and move on. This story comes from Best Reverted or Updates and is titled, Will I Be the Askenaut If I Told My Male 46 Kids, Male 16, Female 18, Their Recently Deceased Mother, Female 44, Cheated on Me?
Okay. I don't want to be a part of that conversation.
The wound's still a bit fresh. A month ago, my wife of 22 years tragically died in a car crash. Cynthia was one of those drivers that loved to stare into her phone, and unfortunately, this bad habit caught up with her in the last week of January. I was pretty devastated when the police showed up at my door and told me she had a fatal accident, and I wanted to honor her somehow. At the time of the accident, I had no idea she was having an affair. The last 4 or 5 months, I did notice she was pulling away and our intimacy decreased, but I thought this was just something that happened to couples after 20 years, so I didn't put much mind to it. But, at least from what she told me, Cynthia started to get into writing. She was constantly on her laptop typing away at all hours. She told me she was working on a fantasy book, hopefully the first of a series. When I asked more, she said it was about a fantasy world where a super advanced human race appears and interacts with orcs and elves and magic with laser guns and high tech. It sounded very cool, and Cynthia promised as soon as she had a first draft she liked, she would let me read it. I decided to honor her by getting the draft of her book and hiring a writer to clean it up and publish it with a novelty press. I got on her laptop and no book, no sign at all. I opened her Chrome, thinking she might have written it in Google Drive, and saw a bunch of pinned tabs. One was a Facebook Messenger tab with a ton of her messages with a man, John. I have no idea who John is, never met him, but they talked about meeting up, exchanging photos, everything. The last message John sent her was 2 days before Cynthia's accident. The two saying they loved each other, and him saying he was going on a business trip to Germany. The messages between Cynthia and John have shown they had met up at the house more than once, so I already had the locks changed. Not sure if John is back yet, and frankly, don't care if he is. I mean, that's... So you lose your wife, and then find out she was cheating on you. That's, yeah. It's not enough pain. I was thoroughly devastated. She did have a Google Drive tab, but in her drive wasn't a book about elves as Vulcans, but a shared document with John. The document was a plan she and John drafted on how to divorce me, turn the kids against me, and take our home and as much money as possible. One thing she noted was she had been taking money, a few hundred a month, and putting it in a separate account. I got the bank thing sorted out and the money in the kids' college account. I've also been going to therapy twice a week now. It is hard to be mad at someone who is dead, especially someone everyone else in your life is grieving and praising as a wonderful wife and mother. I have asked my therapist if I should tell my kids about what Cynthia has done and what she was planning to do. My therapist cautioned me about this. He said that they just lost their mother and being told this would be condemning her memory. Damnatio memori. Maybe now is not the time, but I think eventually would be a time for my kids to know. Wow. Okay. Comments here. One, now is definitely not the time to burden them with that. Two, I agree. As someone who lost a parent when I was growing up, I could not handle information like that at the time. I know every kid is different, so you know yours the best. But personally, I think it'd be easier to wait until they are independent adults, not just legal adults, because I did not consider myself to be functioning as an adult at 18 and can process everything without taking a toll on their mental health during a time of grief. Three, my kids were grown and still had daddy on a pedestal. I told them eventually that he might have been a good dad, but he wasn't a good husband. They got it. They were 4 and 5 when he died and 20-something when I said that. They quit comparing their stepdad so harshly. We got an update to read here, but I can't imagine even finding out all of this out that I would want to inflict this additional pain onto kids who are already grieving. And the kids are, let me scroll back up, for 16 and 18. Yeah, I mean, right now this is your pain, OP. Right, this is relationship pain, and yes, she had this plot to turn them against you, which sucks and would have involved them at the time. But luckily, it doesn't sound like it got to that point yet. So right now, this is your pain. Update 5 days later. Some things have happened since last time. To answer some questions, I have gone to the bank and got control of Cynthia's account and transferred the money into savings account for the kids. Also, my kids already suspected. Okay. Tuesday night, my eldest Michelle said her and my son Jason had something to say to me. They sat me down in the living room and Michelle said, "We think mom was cheating on you." Now it's okay to talk about. They both said they weren't sure, but it was eating at them. But it was eating them up to see me in extreme grief the past month, and they thought I should hear what they suspected. They brought up how Cynthia was always away, and when she was at home, she would make strange observations about me. Stuff like, "Isn't it weird your dad's working late this week?" This is one of those seeds Cynthia mentioned in her document that she wanted to plant in the kids. Okay, so she did already start that phase. Michelle said her suspicions were high the week before the accident when she got home from school and saw a strange jacket on the coat hook by the front door. It wasn't any jacket Jason or I had, so she was very suspicious about it. I told both of my kids that I didn't tell them, but I found the evidence on their mom's computer when I was looking for the book she said she was writing. Michelle wanted to see the evidence, but Jason said he didn't want to think or talk about mom for a while. I shared the info with Michelle after she insisted she already suspected her mom and was ready for it. It feels good to now have someone close that can talk to me about this beyond my therapist. Yesterday afternoon, I was home alone when I heard someone jiggling the back door's knob. I went to the door and saw a man I have never seen before trying to use a key on the lock. I told him to step back from the door and he almost jumped. I opened the door crack and asked him who he was and what he was doing in my backyard. It was John, Cynthia's affair partner. Apparently, he had not received the news yet. He told me that he had worked with my wife and he just got back from a trip and saw Cynthia passed away on social media. And he and Cynthia were starting a business. They had a business bank account with his investment money in the business, and he was wondering if I could help him get the business funds transferred over. Oh, this bag of dicks. Wow. He's still trying. He's still trying to execute this skeezy plan. Okay, hold on. At this point, it sounds like he was just taking advantage of her to siphon some money away because he showed up right after finding out that she passed, still trying to get in. So he was trying to use the key on the house knowing that she was already passed. Was he going to go look for money that she had stashed somewhere? What was he attempting to pull off here? Yeah, and he had a key. He had a key, but OP had already changed the locks because he knew he had a key. What the blubbins? I looked him straight in the eye and said I was at the bank and Cynthia didn't have an extra business account and that I had no idea what he was talking about. John also said that he wanted to check my wife's things for any sensitive business documents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, business documents. You mean like the dirty business you guys were having together? That business?
I said he was a stranger and was not welcome in my home, especially since he tried to enter without permission. John looked defeated, but did suggest he would consult with a lawyer about his sensitive business documents and business funds. You do that, buddy. You do that. You do that. Yeah. And we'll have a chat with our lawyer about attempted breaking and entering, and also how you're showing up here to a family who is grieving the loss of their wife and mother. Yes, she was cheating, but she's still a mother to these kids, and you're showing up trying to sneak in the house to steal shit. I don't think we need to know anything about you. Nothing. We don't need to know anything else about this guy. Comments. One, John had a key to your home. Two, and he knew Cynthia was dead and still tried to enter like he had rights to it. OP needs to consult their own lawyer and get the locks changed. He already changed the locks, but yes, lawyer up. Three, he wanted the money and to get rid of all proof of where the money came from. OP needs to secure all of those things he found in case this guy will try to go to court with his story. Four, honestly, you might want to start calling lawyers and get a consultation with both family law and civil litigation attorneys on the off chance John actually pursues something further. I would also start taking the time to go through everything of hers along with changing the passwords to all of her online accounts. When changing the passwords, don't forget to change the security questions as well as any phone numbers and emails attached to the accounts. Yeah, we do have another update to read, but let's talk about this for a second. Holy crap. At this point, there's a significant risk involved because this John guy was clearly taking advantage of her. She didn't know it. She thought she was just having a love affair, but this guy was siphoning things away and now tried to break into the house, wants to go through all of her stuff to look for sensitive documents here. It's clearly a lie. So you don't know what this guy is capable of. I would start installing some security system stuff if you don't already have it. Definitely make sure that you have some kind of security monitoring cameras, that kind of thing. I would be worried about the kids at this point because you don't know what this guy is capable of. And he sounds pretty freaking desperate to try to break into the house right after finding out that she's passed. So that seems pretty desperate. Update number two. Had to clean up some situations. Just remembered this existed, so I'd pop in to update. Some people were upset with my comment about my wife's bad texting habit catching up with her. Have to admit, emotions were and are probably still and will be high for quite a while regarding her. It was a pretty callous thing to say, I admit. The locks were changed before John showed up, when I saw, based on their conversations, that he was at the house several times. Also, the back door is in the same room as the home office, so of course I could hear someone trying to open it. I've had a credit check done on Cynthia and checked with all the local banks. I got the only account she had. Been going through our financials for the last year, and there were several withdrawals by her for a few hundred here or there a month, which it doesn't appear were deposited into the getaway account. So there's something somewhere. The getaway account did have an extra approximate $2,000 in it versus what she took out. Could be John's money, can't be sure. Cynthia hasn't worked in 2 years. We've reached a level of financial stability to where Cynthia wanted to retire early and focus on being a fantasy writer. No idea where she met John, and honestly, it's beyond the point of caring right now. But she never wanted to be a fantasy writer, so she retired early so she could cheat. Didn't recognize John from the photos because most of the shots were not facially focused, sorry to say. Oof. I did take some advice and hired a PI to investigate John. Good call. He is a 40-year-old married carpenter and father of three. Lots of people suggested I destroy his marriage or sue him, but honestly, the whole ordeal has me exhausted. I am just happy to have Michelle and Jason with me. I still go to counseling every week, and the days are getting better. Now for the update. In Cynthia and John's master plan, one of their ideas to alienate my children from me was to create a narrative of me cheating. They put screenshots of various escorts from some sort of website in the document, saying they could easily pay one to claim I was sleeping with her. What the f***? Cynthia picked a rather large woman who looked like she had some rough years and seemed gleeful in the idea of making the children think I slept with that woman over her. Surprise, Sunday night, who was knocking at the door but that woman? She immediately tried to cause a scene and tried to make adulterous claims, but I simply said, "Did John last name send you?" And she immediately left without a word. John called me later that night and said he wanted his investment money and he knew how to hurt me. Okay. I told him we were on a recorded line, a bluff, and he was silent before saying wrong number and hanging up. Might need to start looking at an RO now. Yeah. and get an actual monitored line. And seriously, if you don't have that security installed, do it now. Comments, one, you should just call him out. Why let him continue this charade? It's disrupting your peace. Just tell him, I saw the file. I know everything. That's how I knew you sent the escort. Although what purpose it serves now, besides pissing me off enough that I tell your wife about the affair, I don't know. I have the evidence saved. My kids know their mother was cheating. If you keep pursuing this, I will take you to court, press charges, and sue you for harassment, threatening bodily harm, and alienation of affection. Don't try me again. Amen to all of that. Knowing that you have all of this evidence on hand, why would you let someone continue to push you around? Two, he hired an escort to cause a scene to get back $2,000. Yeah, how much did he pay this escort? Three, I wonder if there's a stash of cash hiding in the house. I think so. That's why he wanted to get in. He may not know where it is, but that's why he was trying to get into the office, because the little bit that she was withdrawing from the account, she has a cash stash somewhere he was trying to get through or get to. What a shit position to be in, having lost your wife, now finding out that she was embroiled in this scam mess from this guy who was just trying to siphon money from you, and now is coming to your house and then calling and threatening you and sending other people over in threatening manners too. Document everything. Document. Talk to a lawyer, get this whole process started, but you have to be documenting everything 100%. The kids are being endangered now too. If they're showing up at your house and people are showing up making a scene, if there are threats being made, you've got your kids to think about too. And like we talk about often, if you're not going to put up boundaries or barriers for yourself, do it for your kids. Take this seriously for your kids' sake and run hard at it. My goodness. So that one was, will I be the Askenot if I told my kids their recently deceased mother cheated on me? I think that's one of those things you just have to play by ear. And we know more of the story now. Obviously, you know, they already knew or had suspicions. So the point was, he was thinking about telling them. He decided not to, decided to hold off, which was the right move. And then they came to him. So that opened up the door where he could talk about it. Everything else that's happened since then, I think he has a responsibility to take it very seriously and to act in the best interest of their safety. I'd be looking at moving at this point. This story is titled, Am I the Askenot for Explaining to a Customer Why Our Cake Might Taste Like Soap? Soap? Have you ever had a cake that tastes like soap? Anybody? Anybody? Chat? So I'm apparently cake uneducated. I need to diversify my cake palate. I know. That's absolutely shocking information. We must fix this immediately. I-24 female have been working in a small family-owned coffee shop for almost 4 years. One day, a male and female couple come in as customers. Everything is normal. They order and I serve. 30 minutes later, the man came up to me and said, this cake tastes weird. It's like soap or hand sanitizer. Why does it taste like that? I could sue if I had a reaction to this. I simply answer, oh, we had a couple of complaints about the same cake a couple of years ago, but it usually was the spices or the butter that they tasted that came out too strong for them. And before I can give them a new piece or their money back, the man immediately starts to yell at me, cursing that I don't believe him, that I am making fun of him, that how dare I question him. He then proceeds to yell at the customers, she doesn't believe any of you. She doesn't listen to you. This place is horrible. He turns back to me, face fully red, and slams the plate in front of me. Eat this cake and taste it yourself. Mind you, there was a tablespoon of cake left. I even took a photo as evidence for later. I said no, and he continued, and I kept saying no, until I said that I was allergic. He stops for that, but still yells, I will write a very long review to the owner that this place doesn't believe its customers and how horrible the service is. And the couple left, still cursing at me. I was left shocked and confused by the outburst. Later in the evening, the review comes in and they try to act like they're the victims, and I humiliated them. They even wrote to the hygiene company, sorry, I don't know what's the real title for it in English, that our shop has soap in our cake. cakes. We check the cakes every day. We taste pieces before and after putting them on display. There was nothing wrong with them. Sure, I can see the customer's point of view. They come and comment about the cake, worrying if it has something toxic in it. And I might sound dull to them when I explain it, but was it really worth screaming for? Later, my boss comes and says to me that I shouldn't explain to customers why it might taste weird. Just say sorry and give them their money back. But isn't that confirming that our cake might have soap in them? I made the bakery do a whole sample testing in their kitchen, which took them all day. And later, we will have a hygiene expert come and check our coffee shop. I made this whole mess, and both of our shops are suffering because of it. Am I the asknot? So it's, am I the asknot for explaining to a customer why our cake might taste like soap? They didn't care. I don't think, let me say this, OP, I don't think you're the asshole for trying to explain to them why it might taste weird to them, but they didn't want an explanation. They didn't care. They only wanted you to accept what they were saying as the gospel truth. They only wanted OP to accept what they were saying as the gospel truth and be like, oh my goodness, there's soap in them. Wouldn't they know what's in them because they made it? They didn't care. They didn't want any kind of explanation. They didn't want anything. They just wanted to bitch. They probably wanted their money back, or I don't know. It seemed like it escalated really, really quickly for this guy just, you know, not liking the taste of a cake and eating all but like a tiny little spoonful of it. That's the funny part. Must not have tasted that bad because he ate almost the whole damn thing and then wanted to bitch about it and cause a big scene. And normally if somebody's overreacting like that, it is a cover for something else, right? So he ate almost the whole damn cake and then wanted to pitch a fit. Probably was just trying to make a point or look tough or get money back or whatever. Was trying to screw over the business. I do not think you were wrong for trying to explain it. I think anytime that you can educate customers, I think it's a good thing. I think educating them is a very, very, very good thing. And what you're doing now with the testing to make sure everything is good and with the hygiene check to make sure everything is good there. I think as a customer, that's the exact kind of thing that I would want to see happening. I hope you're documenting that so that you can go back to that review and say, here are the results of our tests. We did a full testing on every single thing that we have in stock, and we had a hygiene company do a check on everything here as well. Everything checks out okay. Here are some common reasons why a piece of cake may taste like soap to some people. Boop, boop, boop. And seeing that as a response to a review as a potential customer, to me, would be like, oh, well, they handled this pretty well. This irate customer. Everybody knows that you can't please everybody, and everybody knows there are some people who are going to leave a bad review no matter what, or that are going to be unhappy no matter what. It's going to happen. So how do you handle that customer who's not going to be happy no matter what they do? No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you do for them, they are going to be unhappy no matter what. It's a Kobayashi Maru, right? It's an unwinnable situation. So how do you handle it? And it seems like you handled it pretty gracefully. NTA. He likely put soap in a little bit before he left. Did he use hand sanitizer as he walked into the building? Did he use hand sanitizer before he ate? Did he go to the bathroom and use soap or hand sanitizer? It was his hands that were touching it, right? But who says it was made? I don't know. That's. Hey, Dusty Thunder here, and I wanted to thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that content. And if you did, please make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Also, you can find swag and so much more at dusty-thunder.com, and you'll find even more content on all of our platforms. We're on TikTok, YouTube. We now have an official Facebook page that we'll be posting stories to as well. We have podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and so much more. You can see all of our content platforms on Linktree, which is linked in my bio. Engage with us wherever you're enjoying content and do your best to avoid the Askenauts today. Thanks again. Hey, Dusty Thunder here, and I wanted to thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that content, and if you did, please make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Also, you can find swag and so much more at dusty-thunder.com, and you'll find even more content on all of our platforms. We're on TikTok, YouTube. We now have an official Facebook page that we'll be posting stories to as well. We have podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and so much more. You can see all of our content platforms on Linktree, which is linked in my bio. Engage with us wherever you're enjoying content and do your best to avoid the Askenauts today. Thanks again.